If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
It's millennials. They don't care about getting stuff right. You've given up on them, haven't you?
Well, yeah. Well, why? Of course, why wouldn't I?
Oh, I know. Shoot him also. I know. Sorry. Oh, look at you.
And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brother.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Go on.
All right, been too long. We miss a week. I feel like it's been forever. Notorious J-A-Y is in the house. And are you thrilled that your former Steeler number two wideout, Juju Smith-Schuster, is having himself a moment as world champ?
Oh, I love Juju.
You do?
Yeah, he's a Trojan.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
He's one of my favorites ever. Yes.
So even though when he became your number one, and he really wasn't a number one, you stuck by him because
he was a number two in a number one's body.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, talking that shit after winning, I guess that's the way it goes. So in the AJ Brown versus Juju Smith-Schuster battle, you are still Team Juju. All the way.
Always Team Juju. Always Team Juju.
If it wasn't Juju, would you side with AJ Brown and go, okay, dude, this is lame. Oh, act like you've got some class.
Yeah, I would say you won. Shut up. But it's Juju, so I got a team with Juju.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Unapologetically.
Well, good. You admit your bias, and I appreciate that. So there you go.
I love Juju Smith. Yeah.
Will he get re-signed is the question. Oh. He's on a one-year deal.
It might be time for him to hang it up because he had a lot of injuries with the Steelers. And what, is he 30? That's it. he's not fleet of foot. He's got great hands, and he's a great blocker. I mean, if you need a number four, what are you going to pay him? What, $3 million a year? $4 million a year?
I don't know.
At most?
Yeah. I appreciated what James Bradberry did, which was to take the high road and admit.
That's a terrible call.
Oh, okay. Let's start with that. Yeah. So you're on team terrible call.
I mean, I still say one of the worst no calls of all time was, and I hate the Ravens, but the Ravens Cincinnati game. Why did they not call a block in the back on that? Yeah.
That's what I said. I'm like, watching it over and over, I'm like, the linebacker shoves Andrews right in the middle of the nine, and it clearly knocks him over. Yeah. So, right. The hands up was the sure sign. And it's weird. Most people, at least the informal polling with people, listeners and texters and tweeters and whatnot, they are like, nah, you can't call that there. So there are people that are, you can't call that there, but you got to call the holding there in the Super Bowl. And my stance is, you don't have to call anything anywhere. It's all very much game and situation dependent. And for many people, that is such a foreign concept still. It's almost like they just started watching sports yesterday.
I don't know when you can make calls. I don't know when.
It's judgment. It's a blend. It's a stew of, have we called any holding penalties, defensive holding penalties all game? The answer was no. Is the Super Bowl coming down to it where it looks like, wow, this is going to be a really tight finish? Maybe we should let the players play. Yes. Did he tackle him at the one when it was a perfectly thrown ball he's about to catch? No. So all these things should factor in. And then people go, what is a referee supposed to be thinking about all those things before the play? He won't remember to blow his whistle. I'm like, no, he doesn't think about them. Those are things that soak over you. That as a referee who's good at the top of your game, you're just aware of all these things. And you make a judgment of, yeah, it's the Super Bowl. It's 3rd and 10. There was a little tug, but no.
It didn't impede because the pass was like 20 yards over his head.
Exactly.
That's another thing.
Exactly.
I take that into account.
Yeah. So, I mean, now you would argue, well, he had to throw it before the pass was thrown. The referee was in the motion of going to his hip to get the flag to throw it. But still, it's just better to have a lighter touch, if possible, at the end of games, because the chances you're going to fuck up are still significant. It's a humanly refereed game. It's not robots. And you don't want a fuck up call to determine the outcome of a game. So that's just my feeling.
That's why I love hockey, because in
oh, overtime, yes,
you have to take your stick and slash someone to get a penalty call.
Right. And is hockey not the refs fucked us free sport out there?
Yes, because you just got to kill someone to get a power play. You literally have to kill someone.
Right. And generally speaking, it kind of evens out and both teams are holding and grappling and hooking and slashing to a certain degree. And so, yeah, you never feel like the refs fucked you in hockey. Kind of like in baseball, you never feel like the umps fucked you, except in a few notable cases.
Eric Gregg in the, what was it, 95
World Series?
95 playoff game, the Marlins.
Braves, ALCS, yes. NLCS.
It was the worst strike zone in the history of professional baseball.
Yeah. It was bad, and it was mostly one direction, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But that's the only time. There have been umpire fuck-ups, Don Denkinger, of course, but that wasn't, no one ever said that was bias, you know? No one ever said, fuck. He wants so-and-so to win. He just booted the call.
Yeah, so. He just fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, basketball, you can totally go the other way and go, it's so many cases of referees fucking you.
Yeah. So that brings us to the parade, which was today for the Chiefs. And boy, oh boy, I want my champions, Jay. I want them acting like champions. I want them, you know,
I want them drunk like Tom Brady and having fun. That's it.
Well, having fun and celebrating themselves as if we don't even know what anyone else is saying. This Travis Kelce angle he's working.
Yeah.
Is,
and I like Travis Kelce.
I liked former past tense Kelce. I think he's incredible as a player. Greatest tight end who ever played. Wow. Not even a debate. Look at the numbers, Jay. They're silly. Here's the thing that I can't stand. I want my champions to be champs, not victims. And he's playing the, victim card.
The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs.
Nobody ever said that.
Nobody
ever said that.
The haters, Jay, they were out there.
The haters were saying the Chiefs were done.
Nobody was saying that either.
Nobody said that either. No.
The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs.
Nobody said that either.
There's not an analyst or a sports fan alive.
No.
Who said the Chiefs weren't going to make the playoffs. Nobody said that.
In fact, I would like an internet-wide search. Listeners, can you jump in here? Throbbing brain that is the Zabecast listeners. If you can find a prominent pundit anywhere with a receipt that says the Chiefs will miss the playoffs. I want to know who that was. Remember, they expanded the playoffs 2 years ago. So it's even easier than before. I know people were saying, wow, the AFC West is going to be an absolute, you know, street fight with all these teams and quarterbacks, and they fought off all the pretenders yet again, so kudos to them for that. But nobody said they weren't a playoff team. Why? Because they lost Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
The haters were saying the Chiefs were done.
I mean, that, you know, there's that. And then Mahomes, who I also still like, although at some point I'm guessing he's going to say something that makes me roll my eyes and like him a little bit less. But right now, he's still pure and clean, Patrick Mahomes. Here he is addressing the crowd at the park, freeing himself.
The AFC West said we were rebuilding.
Nobody said
that. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what rebuilding means.
I'm making $500 million.
We're world champs.
Yeah, okay. All right. Rebuilding.
Nobody said that. No.
I know. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes' beautiful and humble wife, Brittany, who still is being slugged as Brittany Matthews.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, why does she not go Mahomes? I know. Maybe she didn't want to be involved with Jackson Mahomes, who might be the biggest douchebag around.
He is an absolute phenomenon of the age, is he not?
Yes, he's such a douchebag.
Does nothing,
that, but he is.
Adds nothing. And I was remarking earlier this week, I'm like, think about how cruel God can be, although he is our Lord and Savior. But at times, his sense of humor, Jay, is very cruel in that he poured all this athletic genius into one brother and left the other brother with nothing. Literally fucking nothing.
I was going to say he's Ozzy Canseco, but Ozzy Canseco played ball.
No shit.
So he's worse than eight. Billy Carter? That's
right.
Who he is?
I don't know. Like, I'd find another one. Usually the brothers of major leaguers, NFLers, NBAers, they're also pretty good. Like Aaron Jones, RB1 for the Packers, his brother plays in the CFL as a running back. And he's
good.
Yeah, good enough to be in the CFL, which is CFL, pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
So Patrick Mahomes, or I mean, Jackson Mahomes, I don't even get. So anyway, Brittany Matthews, who maybe this is a new age sort of empowerment thing, like, I'm not going to take my man's name. I'm going to keep my own name. So his wife, Brittany Matthews, said that she thinks a lot of people need to apologize for what they said about this team at the beginning of the season.
What, that they were really good and that they'd probably be in the AFC Championship game? I don't remember ever doubting the Kansas City Chiefs once. Never. I'm going, they've got Patrick Mahomes.
Here's a pro tip to the wives of athletes making $500 million, which Mahomes is, $500 million, which I saw is going to be the biggest bargain in the next 2 years of any quarterback going, because the price of QBs, Jays, keeps going up. Up, up, up. Never goes down. So they're expecting the Mahomes deal to only be like the seventh most expensive deal as a percentage of the salary cap after this offseason. So it's amazing already. But here's a pro tip, all right, for all the wives out there. I'm sure they're listening to the Zabecast. Remember this phrase before you decide to pop off on social media, okay? And start writing checks that you don't have really the athletic capital to cash. Here's just a simple, simple phrase to remember. How's it spending?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Leave it at that. Cash.
Hey, Brittany, how's it spending? By the way, she goes by Brittany Mahomes on Twitter, for what it's worth. So I see her Twitter account, Brittany Mahomes there. So yeah,
very lovely. Very lovely young lady.
So all hail the Chiefs. That said, worthy champions. They're an absolute force. Andy Reid is a fucking genius. Mahomes is still the freak, and they're going to add more long range threats at wide receiver. They will continue to rebuild in that regard because they weren't a downfield team per se this year. And this kid Pacheco from Rutgers, number 10, is a fucking little beast. I love him.
Where the fuck did he come from? I've never
Rutgers.
Heard of him.
Rutgers, like, I mean, seventh round pick. Yeah.
No. I know, but he just literally can't. It's, you know.
He runs like angry.
He runs like, but he's not big.
No. Nope.
That's not how he gets the job done. I don't get it.
Yeah. So all hail the Chiefs, worthy champions. And let's keep a close eye on what people say they're going to do this coming year, because I'd put a few bucks on them to win it again, just because. So I'm not doubting or hating, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you could be a hater, yes.
Okay. Noted. All right, let's talk about Rihanna. How did she do in Jay's eyes?
I am not a Rihanna stan or a lover.
Really?
But I didn't... Oh, God. Sorry, that's Myra.
No, that's okay.
I didn't realize she...
How you doing, Myra? Good girl. Come here, let me give you... What kind of breed is Myra?
Myra is something and something mixed with pit bull.
Okay.
But she's small.
Oh, really?
30 pounds. Like 30 pounds. 40
so
pounds.
She was a rescue?
She's a rescue.
Is that yours or is that your girl's dog?
That's mine. She's okay. Mine.
Also, so you've got Myra and you've got your pit bull, Thor.
Buck.
Oh, Buck. Right. Okay.
Close enough.
Do they get along?
Myra loves Buck. Buck just tolerates her. I can literally see him saying, why is she still here? Why is she still here? I can literally see that in his eyes.
Buck came.
It was me and you for the longest.
Right. Yeah. Buck came first.
Yeah. It was the boys, and you bring her in.
Okay.
But no, Rihanna. I like Rihanna, but I don't love Rihanna. I didn't know she had that many hits. I was like, oh, I remember this.
Oh, she's a hit factory.
Yeah.
She is an absolute machine of hits. So, of course, people have strong opinions about the show, halftime shows. They always do. Yeah. Well. Oh, wow.
Okay, it wasn't as good as last year, but last year was right in my target. I was in the target zone of last year.
Right. So, yeah, so as talking about the performance, my stance was I'm like you. I'm not a Rihanna stan. I have a couple songs. I love the fact she started with "Bitch Better Have My Money," but they cut out the bitch.
Very funny.
They cut out the bitch, and I'm like, it doesn't really hit the same without that word, you know? I said, you might as well sing, gee, it'd be nice if you got that money to me next week.
Check.
Yeah. So I'm not a huge Rihanna fan, but I like definitely some of her hit songs. So I wasn't.
I like Umbrella. Love that song.
Yes, yes. Yeah, We Found Love is great. Diamonds, all that stuff. But here's the thing. So I wasn't super wowed either way. I like my halftime shows to have more elaborate stagecraft, more props, like more lasers, more lights.
The Oompa Loompas dancing.
They were fine. They were supposed to be sperm, by the way.
Is she pregnant?
Yeah. Like, did you not know the basic story of the performance?
No. Didn't know it at all. No.
All right. Let me see if I
did notice though that the guitarist from Extreme was in the band.
Get out. How did you notice that?
I was like, that's Nuno Bettencourt.
Boy, you're a very sharp eye.
I did notice that though.
Okay, so yeah, so there was a woman on TikTok who said, you know, the New York Times needs to check themselves because they claimed that the performance didn't have a through line. Like a sort of a thread that made it, you know, all tie together, basically. And she explained it. All right. Here's the particular woman in question. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Hold on. Come on. Oh, God. Why is everything so cumbersome, Jay? Here we go.
I need the New York Times to absolutely be for real right now. They just published a pretty nice review of her performance, but had the nerve to say there was no cinematic through line in her set list. Anybody with a drop of THC in their system last night knows that she was this, they were this, and that the art direction takes.
But when she said this, she flashed a picture of a vagina, an anatomically correct vagina, on the screen. So Rihanna in red, Jay. You with me?
Yeah, I don't.
It went super dead silent. I want to make sure you didn't drop off.
No, I'm listening.
And all the white jumpsuited dancers were all the sperm. Rushing towards her. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Anybody with a drop of THC in their system last
night. I don't know why you needed THC in your system either to realize this.
Knows that she was this, they were this. And that the art direction takes you through love, lust, and the chaotic, beautiful creation of life in three chapters. Chapter one, she is floating in the center, surrounded by them. Chapter two, they make contact. In chapter three, they are gone. She is now back to floating in the center alone. She even rubs her belly for emphasis. It is in the art direction. The musical direction, which the failing New York Times says it was none of, tells this beautiful love story. You start off independent and fierce with Bitch Better Have My Money. You get a little bit swept up with Where Have You Been and Only Girl in the World. You fall in love with We Found Love. But love isn't easy and you break up with Rude Boy. You focus on yourself with Work, but you get tempted to go back with Wild Thoughts. You don't give an F what anybody else says. Pour it up. And All the Lights comes and it is that shift. If you want it, you can get it for the rest of your life. It is the moment. Us against the world, run this town through thick and thin, umbrella, forever, diamonds. Tough, perfect, Jesus. Rare, beautiful diamonds. And she rubs her belly again during diamonds to bring all this home. New York.
Okay. There you go.
Okay, this chick needs a life. That she figured all that out. That's the most nonsensical shit I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm sorry.
You are not feeling that, huh? I'm going to send the link to your phone so you can show it to your girl and just say, hey, bae, is this bitch crazy or what?
Yeah. By the way, before we go on, can we pour one out to the goat passing away today?
Oh my God. Yes. Just literally hours ago, it was announced that Raquel fucking Welch passes away at 82. Absolutely one of the most beautiful, alluring women
to ever walk the earth.
Starting with her fur bikini in the movie 1000 BC.
Stern called me and I was like, God damn, I can only remember one Raquel Welch movie, and that was Mother, Judson, Speed with Bill Cosby and a young Harvey Keitel. But I do know that she, and you and I, one day, you know, during the summer, we did the Yacht Rock. We have to do who held the belt. Meaning, who was the world
belt holders of all time?
Women. I don't know what year we start because Stern and I were throwing out. We were like,
by the way, Stern is Mark Stern, not Howard Stern. He is the producer for Tony Kornheiser's podcast. Many people know that, but my instincts as a radio man is to reset and clarify. Go ahead.
But we have to figure out what year, because we were just talking like. We was like, I was saying Pam Grier held the belt one year, like 74.
You really think the belt changed hands that often? Marilyn Monroe held it for like 7 years in a row, at least.
Like Aniston held the belt for a little bit. Madonna held the belt for
I don't think Madonna ever held the belt. I think she got as high as two or three.
Angelina Jolie held the belt.
I don't know about her either. It has to be somebody beautiful who is also atop the pop culture zeitgeist.
That would be a hard one to do. But anyway, Raquel.
Well, that's where we are. Absolutely, she is the fucking goat. And I'm now Googling pictures of her in that movie with that tattered fur bikini in the movie 1 Million Years BC, which was her breakout movie.
Wasn't that one of the posters that Andy Dufresne had up on the wall?
It was the poster that covered the hole that he tunneled out of Shawshank.
Okay.
Yeah. But, fucking Raquel Welch. And
one of the greatest Seinfeld episodes ever. She couldn't swing her arms. Remember? She couldn't swing her arms when she danced.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
That was the one where Kramer took, he was a seat filler.
And oh, right.
Scarsdale something.
Scarsdale Surprise.
And he got rushed up one stage and he took home the Tony with the rest of the crew.
That's right.
They were like, we know you weren't a producer, but we needed to do one thing. Fire Raquel Welch.
Yeah,
and she was Raquel Welch, one of the goats.
I mean, here's how big she was. She had like she was like the face of Maybelline for the longest time. She also had her own line of wigs back in the day because wigs were a big thing with women in the 70s. I don't know if your mother ever owned wigs. My mom owned wigs. I remember that as a kid in the 1970s. She was in Fantastic Voyage, a sci-fi adventure about a submarine crew who got shrunk down and ejected into a scientist's bloodstream.
She Playboy crowned her the most desired woman of the 70s, despite never being completely naked in the magazine.
Even Hef tried it, and she was like, nope, not doing it. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, pour one out to Raquel Welch. Well, let's endeavor. And this is something. This is another throbbing brain thing. I know there's going to be listeners going, ooh, I could start with your list of who has ever held the belt. So it can only be a single belt holder per year. All right. No.
What year? That's a tough one.
Are you saying there's some years in which the belt would have changed hands once or twice?
I'm just trying to think. Like,
what year are we starting?
That's another question. I don't know what year we start. That's another one.
45. Who was the first sex symbol in America?
1940.
That's what? A great one. What are you laughing at?
Did we find women like Rita Hayworth?
Well,
she probably held the belt at one time.
Okay, hold on. Here, I just Googled who was the first sex symbol in America. Mae West. Mae West, the first sex symbol. Our society didn't.
Lena Horne. Lena Horne in the 40s. Nice. Oh my God! Yes.
She was nice.
Brittany Dandridge. I know I'm going. Yes, it was some really. You go. I don't. I. That's a tough one.
Mae West was in film in the 30s. So that if you want to start there, it'll be in the 30s or 40s. And of course, Church is screaming at his radio right now, going, "Don't forget about Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Lamarr.
Oh,
Hedy Lamarr.
The chick who was a spy.
She was a spy. She was an inventor. She was brilliant. She was mysterious. Yes,
Hedley.
No, Hedy.
Blazing. No, I'm saying Blazing Saddles.
Oh, they called her Hedley.
No. Harvey Korman's character was Hedley.
Oh,
Hedley Lamarr. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. NBA trades and Kevin Durant to the Suns. My first chance to put a quarter in your jukebox on that one.
The biggest trade I can remember in season in NBA history. That I can't remember one bigger than that.
Right.
In season. It happens, you know, in the off season a lot, but I was like, wow. I remember I went to bed and woke up and was like, what?
Right.
How did I miss this?
Yeah. Right. It's almost like, could you compare it to an 80s superstar being traded in the middle of the season when he's still viable?
Don't remember that ever happening.
Yeah.
I know somebody's going to email you, but I don't remember a top three player ever getting traded in season.
Barkley. Barkley was one, I would say.
Wasn't that off season, though? Wasn't that?
Yeah, it might have been off season. Yeah. The league has just so gotten weird on so many fronts, but I will say that the whole Brooklyn Nets experience, what a fucking boondoggle. And that lunatic.
Make you hate Kyrie Edwards even more now?
Kyrie Edwards?
Irving. That's his cousin. Kyrie Irving.
I don't hate Kyrie Irving. I just
why?
Look at. Why don't I hate? Well, he's probably anti-Semitic, although he says he's not. And he is a team-wrecking lunatic.
Yes. That's why I hate him, because he's team killer.
Well, I don't own a team, and I didn't sign him, so why should I hate him?
Okay. I just hate him because he just really believes he's the smartest guy in the room. That's another thing I hate.
Of course.
And he just upsets me. Maybe it's just me.
Well, and he was the one.
Again, I hate Ben Simmons, though. I hate Ben Simmons equally.
Okay.
And the reverse, just because he could. I don't think he even likes basketball.
It's possible he doesn't.
I think he just plays it because he's 6'9 or 6'10.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is something that I think many fans have a hard time getting their head around, that there's a certain number of athletes, it's a small percentage, but they're there, that reach the highest level of their league, and they play their sport, but they don't really love it. They just play it because they're good enough at it, and they make millions of dollars. So, well, why not?
Like, Kevin Durant would literally play basketball if I called him on the phone and said, we have a game going,
exactly.
Come down and play. And he would.
Right.
And he would, just because he loves it. Ben Simmons just plays it because he was 6'10", very athletic, and he couldn't play Aussie rules football anymore. That was it.
In a older time, Ben Simmons would be mortified by his piss-poor shooting ability and would be working furiously to improve upon it, so that he wasn't passing up wide open layups, which
dunks.
He did again this past week.
I saw that.
Right. Instead, he just doesn't seem to give a fuck.
and has done nothing to improve his shooting since he came into the league, which is he's maybe one of the worst shooters of a star player ever.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Yes.
Yeah.
Can't shoot, won't shoot.
Can't shoot, won't shoot. And then I was apoplectic the other night when, it was last night that the Bucks played the Celtics. Celtics had a bunch of guys out who are now back tonight. So Marcus Smart's back with his ankle. Jason Tatum's back after his non-COVID illness. Just one day after they apparently didn't want the smoke of Giannis and the Bucks, so they sat out. Their scrubs on their bench gave the Bucks everything they wanted.
Everything they wanted and then some.
And took them to overtime, but lost. But here's the thing. So the Bucks acquired Jay Crowder finally from the Suns for, count them, 5 second-round picks. And three warm bodies. Think about that. And Jay Crowder is going to be a free agent in 4 months.
Not going to stay in Milwaukee.
Well, he might, but probably not. He was brought in just to be the playoff ace, to be the special sauce that gets him over the top. And I'm not against the trade, but I'm just saying, think about this. 8 pieces for one guy who hasn't played all year, but has been working out and staying in shape. And they say that they didn't want to play him because he hasn't played 5-on-5 yet. And I'm like, so give him 8 minutes? The fuck? This is basketball. This is not cliff diving in Acapulco. Are you kidding me? They're like, yeah, we're probably going to wait till after the All-Star break. That'll give him about 7, 10 days to get fully acclimated. I'm like, this fucking league is softer than Charmin. Jesus.
When did second-round picks become Bitcoin?
No, Bitcoin is valuable, but I like an.
But it seems second round picks are too.
I know. Well, second round picks are, as I say, they should come on a roll. And you just tell a team, do you want our roll of second round picks? Like a roll of stamps, basically. Here, they're all on a roll. Just have them all. Who cares?
I was like, because didn't Durant get traded for a bunch of second round picks?
No, firsts. Get traded for three firsts, I think, or maybe
somebody
four.
Somebody got traded for a bunch of second round. I was like, second round pick. I can't name a second round pick who became a star.
I think the hit rate of second rounders making NBA rosters is under 15%. Might even be under 10%. Again, somebody will know that number. But anyway, baseball rule changes. I got catfished last night by a picture of the new larger sized first base, Jay. Somebody did a deft little Photoshop, and the new base that they claim they're sitting there looking at it compared to the old one was literally 4 times as big as the old one. And I go, oh my God, look at this. This is so stupid. And then they showed the real picture, and I was like, okay, so it's a teensy bit larger. The pitch clocks are going in. They made the runner on second permanent in extra innings because it was a trial thing last year. And so the game's a changing, Jay.
Well, my FTG is somebody in baseball, but
okay, you'll save that.
I'll save that, but I hate the runner on second because the reason why baseball is better than every other sport is because you got to get 27 outs. So you have to. You can't ice the clock.
Right.
You can't ice the puck. You can't run. You have to get 27 outs. I hate the fact that you're impeding it by putting someone in winning. Some of the greatest games I've ever seen have been 15 inning games.
I was watching. And maybe this was just me trying to turn the page on football, but I hooked into Ken Burns Baseball on MLB Network. And mercifully, it was not one of those early chapters of the Ken Burns.
Those are my favorite, though.
I have not watched them.
Okay.
But I also have not watched Major League in its entirety, and that continues to be a sore spot with my listeners in Milwaukee and my co-hosts, and probably with you as well.
I can't. I'm
you're
shaking my head.
I know.
I can't. Go ahead.
I know. Well, we all have.
It took you till 1997 to see The Godfather.
And I liked the first. I thought the second was long, tedious, and I fell asleep. Family Guy.
Have I
jammed your gun now too as well?
Yeah, you did.
Peter Griffin. Peter Griffin. Like
said it insisted upon itself. I did not care for it. No, everyone has blind spots in their movie resume. Everyone. You've got to have... Tell me what your biggest blind spot is. That you haven't seen.
God, that's... What's the... What is... I'm trying to think. There's one...
Of an essential movie everyone talks about that you're like, you know what? I actually haven't seen that.
I haven't seen The Sting. Oh. I know people yell at me for that. That's like one of the... I haven't seen any Star Wars after the third one. Empire after
so none of the Jedi, none of the new ones.
None of the new ones.
Not one, two, or three. You've seen 4, 5, and 6, but not 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. Not even 7, 8, 9.
Never. No. Yeah. As in the Adam Sandler, one of his great lines ever, when he was talking to Seth Rogen about something in Funny People, they were like, "You don't do that." And he goes, "Nah, I like to fuck girls."
Have you seen every baseball movie?
Yes. I've even seen some ones that are so irrelevant, and people go, "I don't remember that one." I'm like, "Yeah, I've seen it like 50 times." There was a baseball movie in the 80s with Rebecca De Mornay called The Slugger's Wife. Pretty effing good. That's one of my I've seen every baseball movie at least 20 times.
All right, yeah. Bull Durham, The Natural, Field of Dreams.
Yes,
one, two, three.
The Bull Durham is number one. Natural number two. Field of Dreams number three. Still, overrated for me, but
okay, fair enough. Let's see, Bad News Bears.
I've seen it 100 times.
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own, loved it. Yeah.
Fever Pitch.
I liked it a little, but I hate what's
the
name.
All the Major Leagues.
As I told you, I was in number two. I saw number one, of course. I saw number three.
Okay.
And it was terrible. Yes.
Rookie of the Year.
Terrible.
Okay. Trouble with the Curve.
Loved it.
Fever Pitch.
How could I not love it? I just said I didn't like it because of
Million Dollar Arm.
I actually like that movie because I remember that story. So I do like Million Dollar Arm.
Moneyball.
Moneyball is the biggest overrated piece of crap ever.
We went through this already. 42.
Yeah. It was okay.
All right.
Yeah, I liked it. It was okay.
The Rookie, Dennis Quaid.
Loved it. I remember that guy, too.
Little Big League.
Little Big League's in my top five.
Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, The Sandlot.
Loved it.
Okay. For Love of the Game, Costner.
Loved it.
Bang the Drum Slowly.
Loved it.
61.
Loved it, because Thomas Jane looked like Mickey Mantle.
Basketball.
Hated it. Never saw it.
Okay.
So I can't say I hated it. Just never saw it.
Oh, you pretty much have seen everyone. Anyway, Katie Nolan, who I think you like, has unfortunately...
No, I don't.
Oh,
no,
you're not pro Katie Nolan.
I'm anti-Katie Nolan, yes.
I'm Katie Nolan neutral, but I find her career to be at an interesting spot right now, and I'll explain in a second. But Apple TV's MLB broadcast, which is a niche broadcast that's like once every couple weeks on Fridays, right?
Yes, yes.
It was which had a
third Friday or whatever.
Yeah. Had an unconventional booth that included Katie Nolan in there as not quite play-by-play and not quite former Major League analyst. Hunter Pence was part of their broadcast team. Apple TV is apparently going away from Katie Nolan. She'll no longer be part of it. I thought she got more shit than she deserved because she probably wasn't terrible on it. The idea of her on that broadcast was terrible, but it's not her fault because, look, her career is stalling. She's got to put food on the table, right?
She's going to have to get in Playboy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't think she's Playboy material.
She's very cute.
She is very cute, but I'm thinking to myself, she's fallen off the fast part of the river in sports media, and getting back to the swim of it's going to be very hard. And if
like my girl from ESPN, what's the one who left ESPN?
A lot of them.
What's the blonde chick? Come on. Why can't I remember her name?
Lisa Kearney?
No. The one who was on NBA coverage. Chick.
Oh, she was on Michelle Beadle.
Michelle Beadle.
She's done. She's counting her money, living her best life. I don't think she cares. She does. She's doing something now again, but I don't think she has the ambition to get back into it. Okay. We're all podcasting. You're podcasting right now.
That's right.
So, Katie Nolan, I was trying to think, somebody else has sort of taken the mantle as the cute girl next door who's sassy and spunky and likes sports and is all over social media these days. Maybe it's Annie Agar. Maybe Katie Nolan needs to go the viral route, you know?
What's the chick you love from Fox? The one who I'm like, the all-American girl. What is
Carissa
her name?
Thompson? Oh, no, Jenny Taft.
I think she's the it chick right now.
She's really good. She's lovely. But, I think of these women from a career standpoint. I think, what are they thinking? What are they hoping for? And do they look around at, like, all these young women who are good with a mic, who are really hot and younger than them and hungry as shit and willing to jump in that foxhole with whomever they need to advance themselves. What do you think of that?
Are you hinting at someone?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not in particular. I'm just saying, imagine, I think of it as a man in this business where at least I don't have to worry about some other dude being a mimbo and fucking a bunch of female executives who are horny that are 50 years old, so he gets a job ahead of me. That would be disconcerting, don't you think?
I would love to sit down with a woman in sports and ask her about it, because I know they don't want to name any names, but Diana. No,
oh, God, it just came out there.
Allegedly. But I know that has to chap their ass.
Of course it does.
Because they know it, but I know they don't want to out names. But I know they know the stories also.
Yeah. Listen, when we have
Diana Rossini.
Come on out. When we have that lunch with Carol Maloney, she will open up about that, because Carol played it straight and she saw others around her who didn't, and she said it was a tough thing for her to handle. So we'll get her open up. We just have to get that lunch set up, which I know is entirely on me. Okay. Here for a good time, not a long time. It's time for a rousing rendition of Fuck That Guy.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, what do you got?
Theo Epstein is killing baseball with these stupid rules. He's my FTG. The no shift, you can't have, it's just stupid. Theo Epstein again, smartest guy, another one of the, I'm the smartest guy in the room. But, you did win with the Red Sox with the highest payroll, may I add.
Right.
But they're just killing the sport that I love, and it's going to be non-watchable in about 5 years.
Well, the good news is if these rules don't work, Jay, they can just go ahead and undo them.
They won't do that.
I know.
That'd be too stubborn. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
They never go back on their dumb ideas. They layer more worse ideas on top of the existing dumb ideas and say, see, we fixed it.
Like, will football ever get rid of the PIs? They got to stop that. People like Joe Flacco made a career off, I'll just chuck it up and get a PI.
I think they're going to undo the rugby push that the Eagles have perfected. I think that's probably coming. Maybe not this offseason, but probably next. But generally speaking, they never go backwards. They never admit their mistakes, that's for sure. So to Theo Epstein, Jay says,
fuck that guy.
All right, so my FTG is another repeat winner. It goes to one Brooks Koepka, who is now featured prominently in the Netflix series Full Swing about the PGA Tour and the model of the F1 Netflix series that was so popular. It just dropped this morning. I've yet to watch the full episodes.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Right, yes, but I've already seen clips in which Brooks Koepka talks about, when people are cheering really loud, that it's, quote, almost like a real sport at times. This guy is the biggest Todd who's ever swung a club and won a major. Great player for a hot period. Body's betraying him now. He knows he didn't have his edge. He said, ooh, that Saudi money looks really good, and my thirst trap wife definitely wants it. So he bounced, and he still won't shut his yap about, almost like a real sport. Hey, guess what? You couldn't play baseball at Florida State. You washed out. You couldn't hit the curve. Fuck you. Play golf. Act like a class act. And shut your mouth. Brooks Koepka, fuck that guy.
Now, the best one will be when his thirst trap Instagram wife takes half of that live money on the way out the door. Then, Jay, I am going to laugh. Oh, I will laugh.
That's so going to happen, by the way, too.
It's probably going to matter of time. All right, very good, Jay. As always, thank you for your time, buddy, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.